Welcome back, everyone. This is the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast. I'm your host, Scott, joined by Rich with your average everyday Chiefs talk. All of our episodes are available on all major podcast platforms. Just look or search for the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast, as well as you can search for us on various social media pages such as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. All right, so we are exactly one day from the biggest game the Chiefs normally play. Seems like the last 3 years and going on the fourth year. Obviously, we're talking about the AFC Championship game, Chiefs versus Bengals. But first things first, breaking news today, obviously the big story around the whole league. Thought we kind of mentioned about Tom Brady. Came out a report from Adam Schefter that he had announced his retirement after 22 seasons in the NFL. And quite frankly, Rich, we could do a whole episode just talking about Tom Brady and all of his great games, his accomplishments and everything. So kind of figured we run through obviously the news about him retiring. And obviously right after that, literally like maybe a couple hours later, comes out that his dad and then other people that they've heard from as well on other sources saying that he hasn't made up his mind yet. So there's that thing too as well. So what are your, quick reactions on the Tom Brady retirement? Is it real or not real? Or what do you think? What's how you think is happening?
I think at least for right now, it's real. He got beat up a little bit more than normal this year. And in that last game, when they lost to the Rams, he definitely took some shots, right? You remember that Von Miller kind of targeting straight to the chin that busted his lip. And that was just kind of a culmination of the whole year. Also, the Tampa Bay Bucks, they seem like they're a team that are just dismantling from, the AB stuff to Bruce Arians and just everything that's going on. They're about to lose Byron Leftwich. So I think it might be the right time for him to literally get off the ship, right? Since they're Buccaneers.
Right.
Bad joke. But yeah, I think he's at least for real at the moment. I had read some stuff that his wife was kind of, she kind of gave him permission to go one more year, which was last year. He won a Super Bowl. And she's like, hey, man, I'm sure you understand, right, from years of following professional athletes, the toll that it takes on their families and not being around, is second to none, right? So I think Giselle's finally like, hey, man, you're old. We need you. And, for all of those folks that have girlfriends or married or whatever, you got to listen to the boss. And she's the breadwinner, right? So you got to listen to her. So yeah, I think he's at least for sure right now. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if he pulls a Gronk and unretires come June or July or something like that.
Right. Or I guess people are trying to say he's already kind of pulling a Brett Favre and not sure, but I agree with you. I think ultimately at the end of the day, I think it's a done deal as far as, him being retired. Like I said, we'll see exactly what happens, here soon and all. But it's interesting, it comes out a day before the championship games, right, too, as well. So it's just kind of odd timing, I think, for one. But I guess we'll ultimately find out what exactly comes about it for sure. So, but, if it is comes out in the next few days or whatever that it's official. I know I'm pretty sure we'll probably, talk more about it because I think we have a lot more to say, but kind of just want to give an overall, thoughts real quick about it. But obviously you go on and on about him his whole career. And obviously I think you talk to most people, whether you're a hater, or you love her, he's definitely the GOAT for sure. So especially being a Chiefs fan, I know there's tons of people that hate him and everything like that, or you might not like him, but he's definitely the greatest, hands down. So
yeah, when you just isolate, let's say, what he was able to achieve being a sixth-round pick. Just following him to his time in Michigan, right? That whole Drew Henson situation, and then being drafted in the sixth round, as many titles as he won in New England, and how he's done it, and still being able to win one at 44 years old. His dedication is a match, right? We talk about the Mamba mentality. The TB12 method is right up there with, everything that Kobe did, with focusing 1,000% on you know, being the best athlete possible. I mean, and that's why I know it sounds weird. And, you know, I know you're a North Carolina guy and we were both raised in the Jordan era, but I mean, like I would put Brady over Jordan just because his dedication, right? Like we all know Jordan's off the field or off the court antics. Now he is 6-0 in the finals, which, you know, Brady wasn't. But as of right now, you know, just kind of fresh off the top of my head, you know, I give Brady the nudge barely over MJ just because, you know, how dedicated and how long he did it. Now, of course, he didn't have to – Jordan didn't have to stay that long, right, to 6-0. But yeah.
Well, and just real quick on that topic, and then we'll move on, obviously, to our, you know, point at hand, obviously, the Chiefs-Bengals game. But I kind of look at Brady and LeBron as being the new Jordan and Montana era, if that makes any sense. Because I felt like before those guys came along, I think they were the greatest. Now, obviously, yeah, this is we're not going to debate about basketball on this, but obviously, I think you know Jordan and LeBron is a different conversation than Brady and Montana. Obviously now, but I think that's if you far as look at errors, I think the greatest for their errors or whatnot and moving forward, I think that's where you're at now with the sports.
Oh yeah, with that 100%.
So, but yeah, I totally agree with you as well. I mean, there's a lot to compare with him and Jordan for sure. So with that being said, yeah, we'll go inside the numbers between the Chiefs and Bengals for the AFC Championship game tomorrow. So I'll send it to you for that.
All right, so gonna do what I've been doing the last few games since it's been a kind of a redemption tour, right? Versus each one of our playoff opponents.
Revenge tour.
Yeah, minus the Steelers. So in the first matchup, right, Chiefs lost 34-31 there in Cincinnati in a pretty dramatic fashion there at the end of the game. Chiefs came out firing, were amazing, and then kind of just stalled. Really, in the second half, didn't do anything but score a field goal and end up losing by a field goal as Cincinnati runs out the clock. In that game, right, I mentioned how both teams, I mean, we're over 30 points. Both teams threw for, they had a total of over 400 yards. The Chiefs had 155 on the ground, 259 in the air. Wow, the Bengals only had 60 on the ground and 415 in the air. I mean, that was the game where Ja'Marr Chase broke, I think, every single rookie record that'll stand for a while as he tortured us for a lot of yardage and a lot of touchdowns, right? So, I mean, his numbers were 12 catches, 266 yards, 3 touchdowns with his longest being 72. I mean, it was just – it was amazing to see, you know, from a football enthusiast perspective, but definitely not something that we liked as Chiefs fans.
He got let's put it this way. He got Gabe Davis kind of numbers from last week.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, man. I just thought about that. That's a good point. So, and then just Bengals numbers in the playoffs. They beat the Las Vegas Raiders 26-19. That was a game that it shouldn't have been as close as it was. It shouldn't have been, you know, a game that they only won by a touchdown. But somehow, some way, the Raiders managed to stay in, and the Bengals just couldn't put them away. And then versus the Titans, it was a pretty, I would say, ugly game. You know, by both teams, it was a scrappy little game, and ultimately the Bengals won there at the end, right, with their rookie kicker, which I guess he was a killer, right, because he, you know, killed the Titans there. But yeah, let's say the Bengals, if I'm not mistaken, I read a stat earlier that all Joe Burrow has thrown touchdowns-wise in the playoffs are 2 touchdowns, where Patrick is at 9, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, I think it's safe to say that the Bengals have kind of made it to the AFC Championship by the hair on their chinny chin chin, while the Chiefs also kind of made it, you know, that way in the last game, but just putting up great numbers. So at the end of the day, I think this matchup, you know, provides 2 really good offenses, really fun offenses to watch with 2 great quarterbacks. Maybe one team has a much better offensive line than the other since the Bengals gave up 9 sacks to the Tennessee Titans last week. But, you know, that's why you get to play the game, right? You don't play it on paper. It's not one on the cut down trees. It's one on Sunday. So What do injuries look like for this game?
All right, so the injury report going into this game, obviously the big news is surrounding whether Tyrann Mathieu can play this week or not. On Wednesday, obviously he didn't practice, but Thursday and Friday he was a full participant in practice. Now, the thing of it is with NFL rules is you can practice, but even if you're in the concussion protocol, you're not totally cleared to actually play yet. They list him as questionable. Obviously, the latest reports come out that he actually is looking to play, unless there's a setback for that. But they're still hoping that he's going to be pretty much cleared by an independent doctor before game time. And I've been checking kind of on and off throughout the day to see if there's anything been confirmed. But all I've seen is just kind of like rumors, like he has been and all that, but I haven't seen like actual real sources as far as Tyrann Mathieu actually being cleared to play. But everything does sound hopeful that he will be by game time, so that's a good thing. The only other injury going into the game would be Darrell Williams, running back, has a toe injury. He's been out obviously the last few games. He actually finally practiced on full on Wednesday, but the last few days were limited. Could be maybe just, you know, making sure he's not, given a pretty much good go on the practice and kind of give him some rest. But he's listed as questionable as well, so we'll see if he plays. But if not, obviously, McKinnon's played outstanding in the first two playoff games. Obviously, look for him to continue getting a bulk of the carries, and obviously Clyde Edwards-Helaire being back as well, as he played last week. So that's all he had. Just kind of Tyrann Mathieu. Actually, I forgot to mention as far as injuries in the past too as well. Rashawn Fenton, who missed the last two games with a back injury. He's actually fully practiced all this week, so he's good to go. So really, as far as the ones that we're just kind of concerned about is, I wouldn't say one. So I'd say one would be Tyrann Mathieu. So hopefully he ends up playing for the game. As far as on the Bengals side, looks like Cam Sample, the edge rusher, has a groin injury. Did not practice at all this week and is listed as doubtful. I want to say he was also on the injury list when we played Week 17 against him too as well, but I can't remember. But I think he was. And then also it looks like one of their backup wide receivers, Stanley Morgan, has a hamstring injury. He's also listed as doubtful. And then their defensive tackle, Josh Tupou. I don't know how you pronounce it. He has a knee injury, and he's listed as limited practice this week, so he's listed as questionable. So as far as on them, their main heavy hitters, they don't have anybody really out for this game. So really, it's just to see if Tyrann Mathieu plays. What do you think of your thoughts on that? Do you think he's gonna be ready to go tomorrow before the game?
I mean, I think it's one of those situations where somebody's going to make sure that he plays, you know. But I mean, I hope so.
How many independent doctors they got to go to?
Right. So I mean, we already know that the Chiefs have left the era of being the Golden Boys with the signing of what's his name, David Arnett. Is that his name? The corner. I can't remember his first name. I know his last name is Arnett, but I can't remember his first name. You know, the corner from Oakland that we just released again today.
Yeah, David Arnett sounds about right.
So we're not the Golden Boys of the NFL anymore. I wouldn't be surprised if we find Tyrann Mathieu available at 1 o'clock or whatever the exact cutoff is tomorrow.
Right, exactly. So let's hope that he ends up playing for sure. That's be a huge help to our secondary, as we saw in the second half of the Buffalo game, kind of got torched there for a little bit. So hopefully he is available and good to go. So speaking on that first game that we lost, like you had mentioned, 34-31 in week 17, that ultimately we end up losing the number one seed, which, as you can see, didn't matter because the Bengals took care of the Titans last week. So we have the AFC Championship game at home at Arrowhead. I will say in that first matchup, we also had we started off down one man, obviously in the offensive line. Orlando Brown got hurt in pregame, so he didn't play. So they had Lucas Nang starting left tackle. With Wiley still playing right tackle, and then Lucas Nang went down, and obviously he's been down since he's out for the season. And they substituted Joe Thuney in at left tackle, and Nick Allegretti played left guard the whole game. So we kind of struggled there at first trying to get our offensive line together for most of the game. Obviously, we still held up. I mean, it was 28-17 at halftime, so we still held up and everything. But I will say that's one key thing that we didn't have in that game compared to now is Orlando Brown. Even though I said the game was ultimately still close in the end, but that obviously does help when you have an all-pro tackle still playing for you. So, but as far as that game compared to now, I know it's really only been, a month. What would be your differences going into the game we probably should expect?
I think the first standout is it's at home, right? The Chiefs are really, really good at home. I know there's that meme or quote being passed around that Joe Burrow said, you know, NFL stadiums aren't like college stadiums or, you know, playing in the SEC and they're just as loud there, which, I mean, I don't know, right? That might be true. I think, you know, we as fans, obviously, being Arrowhead is loud and we know it. I mean, it's broken all kind of records, so on and so forth. So that, to me, is the big difference maker to begin with. The fact that the game is at 2 versus late at night, I think that's even better because if you've noticed, right, the later it gets, you know, people are at the stadium and they drink and they're tired. So then those lungs just aren't as strong as, you know, they will be at 2 o'clock. So I think that's the first big difference maker. Second one is, man, the Chiefs are just playing with such confidence on offense. I think they needed that little, you know, stumble versus the Bengals there in the regular season to kind of just refresh them. And then they are just so hyped after what happened last week. So to me, again, right, it's about home field advantage and what Arrowhead will do, you know, for the Chiefs and against Joe Burrow. And then it's just the Chiefs' confidence in Mahomes is playing out of this world. There was a playoff MVP, and you know, let's say the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. How do you not give it to Mahomes with how he's played the last two games?
Oh, I mean, even not even the last two games, all the playoff games that he's ever had, and I'm not gonna sit here and mention a lot of things because I know when a lot of people do that, you know, that jinxes things. So I'm not gonna sit here and set numbers, but you know, the playoff games that he's had, he's played great, right? He's always stepped up in the playoffs. He's been, like you said, pretty much a playoff MVP for all the ones that he's played so far. So, but no, I'm right there with you. We're playing at home. It's midday. I don't know if you look at the weather. Weather's going to be 42 degrees at kickoff. I think it's going to be, towards the later the game, anywhere from.
Yeah, it's perfect football weather.
I think it's not going to drop below 40, I think, the whole time. So it's perfect football weather for sure. So, you know, like I said, the crowd's going to be loud. Obviously, maybe even more so loud because of, like you said, they heard about the whole Joe Burrow thing too as well. So it's definitely going to be looking good. You know, going into the start of the game. And like I said, hopefully that home field advantage that we always have in the playoffs seems to, you know, do benefit us here lately too as well. So as far as on the game itself, keys to the offense, what do you have as far as what do you want to look forward to the offense in this game?
Continue what they've been doing the last two games. They've been confident. Mahomes has been great at taking what the defense and what Andy has been calling, right? We talked about last week where he didn't make one pass over 20 yards. He had one that was right at 20, not even incompletion. So take that. You know the Bengals are going to play the high safety. Take what they give you. Sprinkle in a little bit of Mahomes' magic because it will happen as it did in that first matchup. And, you know, you mentioned having Orlando Brown back. That is going to be huge. The offensive line has been playing amazing. And then, I mean, you know, we can't talk enough about Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill absolutely balling these last few games as well. So just offensively, they have to do exactly what they've been doing. You know, this new style of Mahomes mixed in with a little bit of the old with the Mahomes magic. Andy Reid has to be brilliant with his play calling, and hopefully he keeps his foot on the gas, even if we're up by 30, you know, make it to where there's absolutely no way that you know, they feel like they can come back. I don't care if we're up 31-0 in the first half. You know, you come out in the second half and, you know, keep your foot on the gas because we've already seen that Cincinnati has a firepower to keep up with anyone.
Right. And kind of like in the Pittsburgh game, right? That was the one thing I was thinking is when we got up after our struggled start was just to keep pouring on the points, right? I mean, it's the playoffs. You don't live to play. You lose, you're down, right? You don't play another day if you lose. So you got to keep scoring points over and over and over again. It don't matter who you're playing. And like I said, especially with the Bills last week and the Bengals this week, you got to just keep scoring points. So I don't really have too much more to add to you or what you said about the offense. I'm right there with you. Get the ball to your playmakers. Get what they're given from, as far as the field wise, where are they going to, how are they going to show up? They're probably going to be playing the same style of defense. I would think maybe changing it up a little bit, but Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and then also McCall Hardman, get him. He's obviously been involved a lot in the last month or two as well. And then obviously McKinnon, I like those screens they've been running with him as well. So continue with on that. But yeah, everything you said, 100% agree with too as well. As far as on the defensive side of the ball, obviously I put two words on here, but there's more to it. But I put stop Chase. I'm talking about obviously, Jamar Chase, obviously stop him. He's the one that killed us last game. Make sure you stop him. But I will say they do have two other good wide receivers and Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins. So those guys you also got to stop too as well. And Joe Mixon, he could be kind of dangerous when he's catching the ball in the backfield too as well. So, but yeah, 1, 2, 3, as far as my comments go for defense is stop Chase, stop Chase, stop Chase. I mean, I could say it all day, right? But that's pretty much my game plan is to make sure to stop that passing game.
I mean, and look at what we did last week, right? Stephon Diggs' numbers weren't great at all. I mean, I'm sure if we go back and look, that might have been one of his worst games all year. Make someone else beat you. And like you said, yeah, I understand that they have three great wide receivers in Chase, Boyd, and Higgins. But yeah, just make sure it's not Chase that beats you, or hopefully not beats us, but that doesn't tear you up. Because Chase is just that explosive. Like T. Higgins is good, but he's a little bit more of a possession wide receiver. Yeah, he can burn you, so can Tyler Boyd. But Jamar Chase is, he's one of a kind, right? He's already a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL. So, make someone else beat you. Make the adjustments that Jamar Chase is not going to be the one that tears you up. And then, if the Titans got 9 sacks, why can't us? So one thing I'd like to see is maybe not blitzing as much, because you should be able to get a ton of pressure with just the front four and Ingram. Whatever combination of Jones, Naughty, Reed, more than any of those guys. And then Clark on the opposite end. If you're going to blitz, make sure your coverage is set up properly, because like I said, we can get pressure on Burrow. We saw it last week with the Titans getting 9 sacks. And Joe Burrow's been beat up in his first 2 years. So Jones, Clark, Ingram should have a humongous game. And I think the earlier that they're on Joe Burrow, I think the frustration will start to come out. And as we've seen in the last 2 playoff games that they've had, is they can be explosive, but they kind of turn it off, whether it just be defensive adjustments or whatever. But again, right, so I hope Spags can help himself and isn't blitzing all the time and just creates pressure with the front four, drops everyone in coverage and just keeps everything in front of them. We got to play people the way that everyone has played Mahomes to make sure that there are no explosive plays, because that's how the Bengals get into games.
Yeah, and I agree with you 100% on that. That was one of the main things focused too, is getting to Joe Burrow's, obviously, or Joe Burrow that, Titans did last week with the 9 sacks. I think we got, 4 sacks in the game in week 17? Versus them. But as far as the blitzing, like you were saying too as well, the one thing that brings to mind when you said that was 3rd and 27. Why are you blitzing and you have single coverage on Chase? So yeah, I'd like to see less of that, and hoping just our front four can get to him most of the time, and just make sure their weapons are pretty much well covered. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, and let's say Chris Jones had 2 sacks. It was Jones had 2, Reed had 1, and Frank Clark had 1. So if Jones has a big game, expect one of those sacks to, be some kind of a sack fumble, right? And if we get a defensive touchdown, man, Arrowhead is going to be rocking. Mm-hmm. And I think this is going to be one of those games where this is going to be not so much Mahomes, Brady in his first AFC championship, because, I mean, it went down to overtime. But I think this is going to be the Bengals' learning game on what it's like to play championship caliber teams, you know, as they keep growing and keep developing.
Right. Totally agree with that. And like I said, this is really what Burrow's second year, and this is Ja'Marr Chase's first year. So they have a really young team, and, you know, obviously we'll see what happens in this game. But I have a feeling they have a lot of younger players and a lot of young talent, just like the Chiefs have. And they, like I said, they could be a growing team for sure. But, yeah, they will definitely be in for a treat, I will say that much, playing at Arrowhead tomorrow. Especially Joe Burrow in his first time. So that's going to be interesting to see him, how he performs and acts to the loud crowd noise for sure. So our game prediction, I kind of just went off this week, just like totally just went off script on my game prediction. Normally I kind of stick around the 30s for the most part. I'm thinking, just because I don't think it's going to be relatively a close game, it's not going to be the Bills game. From last week, that's for sure. I think the Chiefs are going to win 41-27. And I think a lot of the points that the Chiefs score are going to be early on, kind of like they did in the first half on week 17. But I think we're going to put up a 40-burger on them for sure this week. And I think that 27 points that they get, they might even get seven of that late in the game. I really don't think it's going to be that close of a game for me.
Yeah, now I'm kind of the same way where I've been thinking, of course, you know, you don't want to be too confident in day jinxing, but we're fans. We're not playing the game. There's no such thing as, like, you know, us saying things and it jinxing it or anything. The Chiefs are super confident. The Bengals should be confident as well because, I mean, you know, they made it here and technically their first full year of having their whole new setup. So they should be confident. And Joe Burrow has already gotten the nickname of Joe Cool because he's got that Joe Montana, Tom Brady-like demeanor. But then again, we have Patrick Mahomes, and he is exactly like Jordan, Brady, Kobe, any of those guys that are just absolutely crutch in crunch time. So I'm with you. I'm going to go with something, you know, similar. So I'm going to go with actually 42-24. I do agree with what you said, though, about there might be a late touchdown there by the Bengals that makes it look like it was a little bit more of a game. But, yeah, I just – that game versus Buffalo and how much confidence they've been playing with. I think it's Mahomes and the Chiefs' first playoff game in a, well, I guess since the Steelers game, right? But let's say it's going to be the AFC championship game where they are just rocking and they establish dominance on the AFC, right? Because, you know, we lost to the Patriots, the Titans. You know, it was kind of a close game, though, up until Sammy Watkins sealed it for us there late mm-hmm. in the game. And then last year, I guess you can say last year's was dominant on one end. But I think this is the one where the Chiefs are just hitting on all cylinders and they just blow them out the water. Now, again, right, I hope we don't jinx it in any way. But I really like what Andy Reid and the Chiefs are doing right now. So I'm going to go with 42-24, as I mentioned before.
Yeah, I said that it's right there in that ballpark because I just, like you said, the momentum right now, they're just feeling it. They're on fire after last week's game. It's just hard for me to believe that they're just not going to come out like so much confidence and just firing in all cylinders, right? Defense, offense, special teams. Like, I feel like it, like I said, it's going to be one of those complete games again, I think. And like I said, us as being Chief fans, you know, being biased or whatever, in some aspects is a biased, yes, but in some aspects it also is seeing the games and seeing how they're playing, developing these confidence that they've had, and not only in this playoffs, but also just in the last half of the season. It just seems like everything is coming together. They're healthy. You know, they're really, because they're only down like a couple of players, but most of them aren't starters outside of Lucas Niang, you know, right tackle, but we've been shuffling someone in and out of that position pretty much all year. But just with all that being said, it just seems like this will be, you know, the game for them. Like you said, they kind of have that complete game in the championship.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a difference between confidence and arrogance, right? There's no arrogance coming from anyone. I'm sure there's some fans out there that are arrogant, right? But the team itself looks just like they're on a mission. You know, they're on that full-fledged revenge redemption tour. This is another team that you got to take care of that, let's say, beat you this year. So yeah, go out there and make a statement, and to make whoever it is that we end up playing from the NFC, fearful, because we were just that good in this game. It'd be great. You know, I love to be entertained on all that fancy stuff, but you know, I was entertained when we beat up the Steelers. So let's take one like that. The only thing that makes me worry is Tyrann Mathieu, because he is so important to our defensive strategies, especially in the secondary. But I just think offensively they will be on it, and I think Chris Jones and Melvin Ingram are going to have a huge game. So again, right, confidence, not arrogance.
Correct. Yep. So on that NFC Championship game, Niners and Rams. At the beginning of the season, would you have probably expected to be a Niners versus Rams? I sure didn't. I wouldn't. And also, you could probably say the same about, the Bengals. But as you mentioned, obviously early in the season and our sleeper teams, you mentioned the Bengals being a sleeper team. So, and quite honestly, it's probably not as shocking. But Niners and Rams for the championship game is an interesting combo. I probably didn't really see so much coming. I would have probably expected more like Packers, Bucks, something like that. Rematch again. But so as far as on the Rams and Niners, obviously the Niners have beat the Rams the last six times, I believe. Obviously they beat them twice this year. And there's always that thing in the NFL where they say it's hard to beat a team three times, let alone two times in a year.
Right.
As far as on this game, I'm gonna let you start. I'll start you off with this. So I want to know, who do you think will win? Who do you want to win, if it's the same or not? Your score prediction and why on all that.
So I think I actually mentioned the Rams were going to be my Super Bowl team from the NFC when they started. When we started, out our beginning of the season predictions. I just think Matt Stafford, he showed last week. I understand that, they had some blunders there at the end that made it a game. But Matt Stafford is what this team needed to go over the edge. When Robert Woods went down, they picked up OBJ, and he's been great. He's been revived there in LA. So I'm gonna stick with the Rams. Like you said, right, it's hard to beat the same team that many times in one season, but I just think the better quarterback will make the difference. Debo Samuel is a little dinged up, so that'll be interesting and something to watch. But I think, like I said, at the end of the day, the Rams are at home. Super Bowl is there. McVay will be on it. Stafford will be on it. OBJ will be on it. Cooper Kupp is amazing. I hope Cam Akers has learned his lesson on letting go of the ball. And then they've got Von Miller, Aaron Donald. Now they brought back Eric Weddle, Jalen Ramsey. So it's set up for the Rams to finally get to the Super Bowl there at home. The Niners are scrappy, but so yeah, I'm gonna go with the Rams. I think I just mentioned the why, right? It's Matt Stafford being the big why. Score prediction is hard because I can see it being in the 20s, just kind of like the Bucks Rams game was, but I just Jimmy G's gonna he's gonna surprise some folks again, and that defense is gonna play its tail off. So I don't know, I'm gonna say something like 31-34 Rams win. And yeah, of course I want them to win because I want, OBJ still one of my favorite players. I hope the Chiefs, give them some calls after the season. But it'd be cool also for Stafford, to finally get something like that after being in Detroit forever. So yeah, Rams all the way, on everything, on every question you ask me, and 34-31 is what they win.
Yeah, I can't argue with you on any of it. All the stuff you said is pretty much what I was going with. As far as on the Rams, like you said, they were that quarterback away, and they finally got that. And with all the weapons they have, like you said, added OBJ on their team, with Cam Akers coming back, Cooper Kupp just unbelievable too as well. It's just, I feel like they have too many weapons on offense with Van Jefferson too, right? So tight end, what's his name? Tyler Higbee, right?
Yeah,
So I mean,
Tyler
they just
Higbee.
have so so many weapons on offense. Defense is just loaded. Obviously, we're getting Von Miller too as well, Aaron Donald. It's just, it's for me, it's just, I just don't see the Niners beating them again. It's surprising to me seeing this Rams team with all this talent and how they lost to the Niners. But I will say the Niners have had, you know, really good defense. You know, their offense has been obviously kind of lacking. You know, Jimmy G has, he has games sometimes, and sometimes he just doesn't look like he's, you know, a lesser Kirk Cousins or something out there sometimes. It just doesn't even look like he's an actual quarterback that should be starting in the league sometimes out there too as well. But, no, I mean, I'm kind of right there. I really don't have a different why reason other than I think the Rams are just kind of more talented, and I just don't see the Niners beating them three times for one season. I just really don't. As far as on and they're also the team I want to play just because I want that revenge tour to continue. Obviously, the Monday Night Football game we lost to them about 54-51, which one of the highest scoring games ever. You know, the National Football League is such of an entertaining game. You know, I'd have to put that up there with one of the best Mahomes games too, as well, as far as entertaining, even on the loss end on that game. And obviously, if people forget, that game was supposed to be in Mexico and got moved to back home to Los Angeles because of, I think that was, they had a concert or something that tore up the field in Mexico where that stadium was supposed to be, or that game was supposed to be there in Mexico. So, yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to that. I kind of want to have, you know, obviously get revenge on that. Obviously, the other factor is they used to be in Missouri, so you have that Missouri kind of Super Bowl kind of thing going on there as well.
I think all those St. Louis Rams fans jumped on our bandwagon, right?
Right, yeah. Like now, I mean, I would, yeah, right. Which I thought was really weird too as well. But, yeah, and as far as score prediction goes, I'm going to stick with the 20s. I'm going to say Rams 28. Niners 24, but yeah, I do think that it's going to be a close game, just like pretty much most of the games have been, especially the last one that I think it went into overtime, if I'm not mistaken, or at least one of their games I know this year went to overtime. But yeah, I still expect it to be a close game. It should be entertaining, but obviously with their predictions, Chiefs and Rams should be entertaining Super Bowl if it does happen, and obviously it's being what, the second year in a row that if the Rams do make it, they'll be a host city. And the thing of it is, regardless if it's LA or it's San Fran, their fans don't have to travel far at all, right? Yeah. Cincinnati or Kansas City, their fans are going to have to travel pretty far to get there, but they're just pretty much a road trip or heck, a Uber ride away from the stadium in most cases for their fans there, so in the NFC. So
heck, and with yeah, mortgage and rental prices in San Francisco, then people can afford those Super Bowl tickets easily. Well, LA too, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, they probably already got them too, or something. Who knows? They probably get. Yeah, like I said, they just have enough wealth. Probably they're easier to afford than obviously either team in the AFC.
Yeah, they're like $4,000. That's a month's worth of rent on their right, 2-bedroom, 1,500 square foot apartment in San Francisco.
Oh, for sure. So, yeah, final thoughts is just really excited to watch both these games tomorrow. I'm actually kind of glad the NFC game's after ours, because last year I didn't get to see any of the Packers-Bucks game because it was before ours and I was out at Arrowhead tailgating. So I'm actually look forward to at least getting to watch the second half of this NFC championship game. So definitely looking forward to watching both of these games tomorrow. With that being said, that is actually the end of today's episode of the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast. Check back with us after the weekend on our breakdown of the AFC championship game between the Chiefs and Bengals. And we'll probably also recap a little bit of the NFC championship game too as well. Thanks again, everyone, for listening. Don't forget to follow our podcast and go Chiefs.